أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We pick back up in Nuzhat al-Nadhar, that is the sharh of Nukhbat al-Fikr. In the matan Nukhbat al-Fikr, Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he mentioned ثم سوء الحفظ. طيب, so now we were going through the asbab or the means of jarh of criticizing narrators in the chain in the asanid of hadith. Tayyib. So he says, then is the weakness of memory. Tayyib. Now there are two types that are mentioned here. In kana laziman, yani, where it happens continuously, fahuwa shadun, yani, we talked about shad, but a shad here has a reference to the actual narrator, that his narrations are continuously weak. Ala ra'in, yani, upon one opinion. أو طارئٌ يعني طارئًا, or if it happened at a particular time of his life, or meaning not a continuous weakness. And I'll explain, inshallah. I'm just going to go to the matan first. فالمختلط يعني, then that is called مختلط. طيب, so now we have a type of narrator that is going to be graded for that weakness, and that's going to affect the hadith. And this one here, where you have a mixed number of narrations, meaning some of those narrations are going to be sahih because at that time his memory wasn't weak, and some are going to be da'if, then that's going to be mukhtalit, meaning it's going to be mixed. Or he's going to be a shadh narrator that continuously had a weak memory. So those are both types of weak memories. In the sharh of Nukhba, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani himself says, yani, about the statement ثُمَّ سُوَ الْحِفْظ, that then there is a weakness of memory. هُوَ السَّبَبُ الْعَاشِرُ, yani, this is the 10th sabab min asbab al-ta'an, from the means or the yani, reasons that a reporter is criticized. So this is the last. We mentioned that there's going to be 10. So he started with the most serious, which is كَذَب, yani, a liar. And now he's coming to the least serious, which is somebody just had a weak memory and maybe it's only a part of their life. Tayyib. So Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani himself in Nuzhat al-Nadhar explains this, and I'm going to mention some of his own explanation and then inshallah from Ibn Salah and al-Iraqi and others about this, because this is a very important aspect of Mustalah al-Hadith that most people don't understand. So when we talk about the science of grading hadith, what is the goal of this entire science? Is to preserve the authentic religion as it should be, as Allah revealed. Meaning, what are we trying to do? We're trying to make sure that the deen of Islam is preserved and not corrupted like the other religions became corrupted. If you look at the Christian traditions, if you look at the Judaic traditions, if you look at Hindu traditions, there is no real verification of authenticity. Nobody really worries about who Mark was or who Matt. And those that do, they figure out, you know what, we don't know who they were. And they just kind of go with it. And you can show them clear contradictions and mistakes. And they just kind of go, well, you know, this is how I feel. You know, but in Islam, we're trying to preserve the message. Judaism, if you look at a lot of them, they know that the original writings that had to do with Musa alayhi salam and Dawud alayhi salam are lost. With Babylon, all this stuff that happened. So they're like, you know, these are traditions. These are just our ways. Hindus, the same thing. They're not really worried about whether Ram and Sita really had Ravan kidnapped Sita and all this stuff. They're just stories. In Islam, we're not like that. We believe in the religion that we have. We believe this is the message that Allah revealed in the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ brought with his Sahih Ahadith. So this is what we're trying to do, is to preserve that. Even the Quran, and in the Qira'at of Quran, we check the Asanid. Even the tafsir of Quran, we check the narration, the nasanid. So it's a very important science. But what is the end goal? Is to preserve what is authentic. Tayyib. So if you have somebody who is a liar, could he tell the truth? I mean, maybe a liar doesn't lie every time, but we're not going to take that chance. If he's a liar, he's no somebody known to lie, or he admits to lie in hadith and so on, we will not accept that narration. Tayyib. On the other hand, now as we go through the 10 methods of criticizing reporters, we start seeing things that are less and less serious, but still serious enough that they're rejected. Meaning, if they were accused of lying, well, I mean, if somebody is even accused of lying, we're not going to take the chance of attributing to the Prophet ﷺ that which he didn't say. So we say it's matruk. Or, yani, it's something that, yani, majority of the strong narrators mention one way and one weak narrator went the other way. So we said this is munkar, there's inkar on it. Yani, and then we have somebody who's a fasiq or a fajir, somebody who's maybe an alcoholic. Are we going to take a hadith from alcoholics? No. And so on. Then we get to lighter issues like jahala. Yani, we may not know much about them, but there's no real jarh on them. And then yani, we discuss bid'ah and when it affects the hadith and when it's not really that much of an effect and so on. Here we get to the least dangerous of the things, which is this person is not a bad person, but he has a weak memory. And many, many great scholars of Islam, unfortunately, are in this category. And I'm not going to mention them, and not to offend people who may be followers of those scholars. But somebody could be a great faqih, yani in fiqh, but in hadith, they are weak in memory. This is not to criticize their moral character, but it does have an effect on their reporting. But there are two types of people with weak memory. One is somebody who's continuously in that sin, in that state. Laziman, yani, this is the first what Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani is mentioning. Somebody who is continuously making mistakes in his reports. And we catch that. How do we catch that? Alhamdulillah, when you look at a hadith, usually there are many paths to it, many asanid. Unless we're looking at a gharib hadith. But in other ahadith, there are many paths. And if those that were strong memorizers and dedicated students of knowledge and ulema of hadith are all reporting it one way, and a particular narrator repeatedly and continuously goes a different way, we say, okay, this person, he just kept getting it wrong. So here, if that's continuous in their whole life, then we will say that he has su'ul hifz, yani he has a weak memory continuously, and he's a shadh narrator, he's always going to be the odd man out, and so on, and these ahadith are weak. But on the other hand, you have the mukhtalit, as we are mentioning here, which is where you have a mixed bag, meaning that somebody was a strong narrator in hadith, but maybe at their older age, they got dementia or Alzheimer's or other forms of, yani, the memory just kind of becoming weak. Or you have many reporters, as Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions in Nushat al-Nadr, that their books were burnt or lost, like Ismail ibn Ayyash. I mean, he didn't mention Ismail ibn Ayyash, I'm adding to that, but he mentioned about the people who lost their sight or the burning of their books or the loss. Ismail ibn Ayyash, for example, he's a strong narrator, but yani, when he reports on the people of Sham, when he reports on the people of Hijaz or Iraq and so on, he's a weak narrator. Why? Ismail ibn Ayyash is otherwise, he's fine as a narrator. I'm just giving an example, right? But when he's from Sham, so when he reported from the people of Sham, he had his notes, he was good. He traveled to seek a hadith, which is great. He went to Hijaz, he went to Iraq, he went to other areas, and he wrote down a hadith. And he would memorize as well, but from his memory, sometimes he'd make mistakes, but when he had the written notes, he was good. When he was on his way back, he lost his books. Some of the ulema said, yani, their caravan was robbed. Some say he just lost them. Anyway, when he got back to his homeland, he had lost his notes. So when he reported a hadith from the people of Hijaz, from Medina, from Mecca, from the people of Iraq, he would start to make mistakes because he didn't have his notes. When he would report a hadith from the people of Sham, where he had his notes at home, he was good. So in this type of a narrator, we say that he's not continuously a weak narrator. He doesn't have a weak memory continuously. Because if he had his notes, he's good. But if he is reporting from the people where he had traveled there, like the people of Hijaz, then we have to check on that hadith. It's not that it's definitely weak, but we cannot also authenticate it unless there are supporting evidences. And we'll talk about Hasan li ghayrihi and so on coming up. So in this type of a thing, the ulema of hadith then figured out which a hadith he reported from who. So they would say, who is he reporting from? For example, Musa ibn Uqba and others that he reported from were from Hijaz. So, and I'm just giving this memory, yani, from the top of my head just as an example. So when he said, okay, he's reporting from the people of Hijaz, they'd say, okay, this hadith we're going to, yani, make waqf on, we're going to stop, we're not going to accept it until we find a supporting evidence. Tayyib. Now that's important to understand, because some people then take that hadith and say, oh, it's da'if, throw it away. Now, take it easy. Yani, yes, there is a chance of weakness here, but this is not like somebody who you say, okay, he had a weak memory for sure. No, here it could be that he made a mistake because it's not from where he had his notes. So you have to then not accept it, but at the same time not fully reject it until you review supporting. If you cannot find any supporting evidence, then we have to reject it, because we always side on the side of caution in mustalah al-hadith, in the science of judging and grading hadith. Tayyib. Some other narrators, what would happen is that it would be towards the later part of their age. Zayd ibn Yazid or Yazid ibn Zayd and other narrators like this, when they were younger, their reports were good. When they got older, they lost their memory. Some of them lost their eyesight, so they couldn't review notes, and they would start to make mistakes. So the ulema of hadith, amazing, amazing work that they did. They went through those narrations and found, okay, who did he report from? Who reported from him? When was he born? When did he die? Until they found, okay, these are his reports from his younger age, so they are acceptable. These are from when he started making mistakes, because they are khalif, they are against these other reports that are from stronger narrators from the same sheikh. So we know from this point on, he was weak in his narrations. Amazing work, amazing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless these ulema of hadith and their effort to preserve the entire religion with the highest level in Jannah for the painstaking effort that they did. And may Allah guide all those jahil people who think that a hadith are just yani people's sayings and were made up and so on, without understanding the effort that went behind grading and preserving the science of hadith. Tayyib. So now we have this issue, and Ibn Salah and others, they also and he explained this the same way. Now we get to, in the next part of the book, which I'm going to cover today, inshallah, the issue of Hasan li ghayrihi. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani then says that when you have somebody with su'ul hifd, yani somebody who has that weakness in memory, but it is supported by somebody, and in Nusrat al-Nadr he explains it further, saying by somebody either above him in rank, yani stronger than him, or equal to him, but not less than him. What does that mean? You cannot take a weak hadith and support it with a weaker hadith, yani, without that dealing with the weakness of the hadith. I know it's a little bit complicated, but I'm going to try to simplify it. So let's say you have a hadith that is mursal, tayyib. Yani, it's a very light weakness. Mursal, yani, only the sahabi is missing. And then you have a mawdu' hadith, a fabricated hadith, or a matruk hadith, and you say, oh, I'm going to support this mursal hadith with a mawdu' hadith. That doesn't work. Right? Because the mawdu' hadith is a fabrication. We can't use it even for support. Tayyib. But let's say you have a mursal hadith, the sahabi is missing. But then you have another hadith that maybe has an issue with yani being having a missing narrator closer to the muhaddith, but it does fill in the gap between the tabi'i and Rasulullah. So it mentions the sahabi. So now the weakness here is filled in with what's in the second sanad. So here we say that this is mursal, but it's supported by something that at that rank is equal or stronger. Then we say this is hasan li ghayrihi. And this is a very important category, because the ulema of hadith were very strict, especially some of them, yani like Ibn Jawzi and others, they were very strict in their grading. So sometimes, even if somebody was just not a great memorizer of hadith, they wouldn't accept him to be sahih. So then you have to look at supporting evidences. And if you have 30 different narrations from different areas, and some of them the weakness is very light, and others yani for kind of take care of that particular danger, then you have to be able to support those to be bumped up to being acceptable. Now, there are two extremes that I want to warn the tulab ilm, the student of knowledge, against. One is those who try to upgrade everything. Yani, they get a hadith that is extremely a matruk hadith, and then the supporting narration they use is a mawdu' narration. They're like, well, there's 10 narrations, so it's okay, we're accepted. No. Yani, just having a bunch of fabricated narrations does not support anything. So if the weakness is severe, it cannot be bumped up. Tayyib. We have a kadeh, but we have somebody who continuously would make mistakes and continuously would so on, would not. But where can it be upgraded? Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he mentioned a few of the categories here as mastur or mursal or a mudallis. Tayyib. In these categories, you don't have a serious weakness. Tadlis, you have a hidden narrator. Meaning, let's say, for example, Sufyan al-Thawri says, an, and he mentioned somebody who he did not directly take hadith from. Or he did not take that hadith from them. So now we have tadlis, we have a hidden gap. But are we sure it's a weak narrator? No. There is no jarh here, it's just that we don't know. And we're not going to take chances with attributing something incorrect to the Prophet ﷺ and taking out ahkam that are incorrect. So, what do we do here? We look at other asanid. Then if we find another sanad where Sufyan al-Thawri mentioned his sheikh, and then that sheikh mentions the sheikh that Sufyan had jumped to, and we find that the sheikh that he took hadith from was not weak. So now we say, okay, that hadith that was had tadlis in it is now bumped up to hasan li ghayrihi, because there's a supporting narration that is stronger than it, or in some cases equal to it, or at least addressing the particular weakness that we found here, which is tadlis, and it is now clear. So here, that is bumped up. Same thing with Mursal. We mentioned Mursal is a very light weakness. Ibn Hajar Asqalani gives the example of Mursal as well. And he says, Mursal, the Sahabi is missing. But if you have another narration where the Sahabi is mentioned, now that weakness has been mitigated. Yani we have a mitigation for the danger of attributing something incorrectly to the Prophet ﷺ. Now, that second narration that mitigates might have some weakness somewhere else in the chain, but that doesn't affect the seriousness of the issue that we're looking at here. And it's not something where it's a lie or an extreme weakness, then it can be used. But as I said, those are hadith that are fabrications or are matruk or have extreme, like mu'allak, the whole chains are missing, those will not be used even as supporting evidences. Tayyib. Ibn Hajar Asqalani also mentioned that, you know, this shows that there are two possibilities in these types of lightly weak hadith. One, that the hadith is preserved, mahfud, one that it's not. And when we find supporting evidence on its rank, then it's no longer paused upon. We don't make idtarab here. We don't say, okay, we don't know about this, because the chance that this is correct is bumped up. And hence, it will not be hasan li dhati. It does not become hasan, but it becomes hasan li ghayrihi. In some of the imma and ulema, as Ibn Hajar mentions in Nusatul Nadr, they did not even put يعني, itlaq al-ism hasan, and they did not want to even say alayhi, and he did not want to say it's hasan. But this type of hadith has to be acceptable because we have the danger has been mitigated. طيب? So once again, what is the point of mustalah al-hadith and ilm al-rijal, all of this is to mitigate any danger of attributing to the Prophet ﷺ that which the Prophet ﷺ did not say or do. Tayyib? So when you have a mursal hadith or a hadith with tadlis or jahala, when the jahala is not something, yani it's not mubham, majhul al-hal, for example. And this is an interesting example for the dars we were doing in Zadul Mustaqni' about raf al-basar, yani or nadarhi, and you raise the sight at saying the shahada after wudu. So you have the Abu Aqil narrating from Ibn Ammihi, from the son of his uncle, meaning his cousin, who was majhul. But Ibn Hajar, as he mentions, and if you look in Nataij al-Afkar, which is the takhrij of Kitab al-Athkar of al-Nabawi, he mentions that this is hasan li ghayrihi, yani this is a hasan narration. Why? Because there is no jarh on the narrator. And the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, which is a separate chain, shows that his cousin, Abu Aqil's cousin, did not make a mistake. So even though that chain may have its own issue, but here it is equal or greater because the jahala has been addressed and we know the ism and everything of the narrator. So these types of narrations can then go from having a light weakness to being hasan li ghayrihi. Tayyib. Again, this is important because many, this is the other extreme now, which is many tulab ilm, they just find any little weakness and they're like, oh, weak hadith, and they freak out. And then if any of the ulema of the past used it, not realizing that they took it to be hasan li ghayrihi, they say, oh, these ulema, the hanabila, these, they use da'if hadith and this and this. Akhi, you don't even understand the science of the hadith yet. Ibn Salah, for example, and I'm talking now to give you an understanding of this, or Imam al-Iraqi, or Ibn Hibban, or many of the earlier imam and ulema, did not have a category called Hasan li ghayrihi. Really, Ibn Hajar Asqalani was a pioneer in promoting this terminology. Even though it's been used other than him, I'm not saying he was the first one to come up with it, but he really promoted it because earlier a'imma like Imam Ahmad, they didn't even have a category called Hasan. So when we look at what is acceptable, tayyib, we know today from the ulum of hadith that Sahih and Hasan, including their subcategories of Sahih li dhatihi and Sahih li ghayrihi, Hasan li dhatihi and Hasan li ghayrihi, are maqbool. Yani these are acceptable narration. Earlier, a'imma also accepted the same criteria. But the terminology they would use is you have Sahih li dhatihi, because they didn't have li ghayrihi, so just Sahih, and anything that didn't reach that top high caliber of hadith was then considered weak. But then, because in reality some of those were acceptable, they would accept them, and that's why when we find the call of Imam Ahmad, yani that ahab da'f al khabar ala aqwa al nadar, yani I prefer the weaker narration over people's own intellects and so on. People say, oh, he depended on a weak hadith. No, that's not what it means. What it means is that those, and as yani the ulema of usul al fiqh have explained, they said that even a hadith that is hasan, he would put that under da'if at that time, but he would accept it because it is maqbool. So that hasan hadith is better than somebody using their own intellect and their own deduction and their own ra'ah and coming up with their own opinion, because that hasan narration is still acceptably attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when your own thinking is definitely not from wahi, and you just made up your own idea that it's your ra'ah, it's your opinion, it's not from wahi, but the Quran and the ahadith that are maqbul are from wahi. So Imam Ahmad didn't accept da'if ahadith as we understand da'if to be today for masail. Rather, he accepted those that we consider maqbul today, but at that time they didn't have the terminology of hasan and hasan li ghayrihi for masail. So this is what is hasan li ghayrihi, and this is a very important category to understand. Two extremes. One, who wants to bump up everything, even though there are extremely weak narrators in those asanid, not acceptable. Tayyib. Other extreme, where any slight weakness to them is as if you should burn the hadith, and they don't look at any supporting evidences, and they don't understand the concept of a hadith going from hasan to sahih li ghayrihi, or from da'if to hasan li ghayrihi. Also unacceptable. Middle path, the path of the ulama of hadith, ashab al-hadith, the people of hadith, is to review the type of weakness. If a hadith is weak, what makes it weak? What are the sabab? And if it's something shadid, something harsh, like there are five narrators missing in a row, we cannot bump this hadith up. There is a liar, there is somebody who was accused of lying, there is an alcoholic or so on. Yani, we cannot bump that hadith up. This is not going to be acceptable. Otherwise, people just fabricate 20, 30 asanid and then you'll bump it up. No, we cannot. On the other hand, if there is a light weakness, hadith is mursal, and in another sanad we mention who the sahabi was, or we know that somebody says, no doubt that irsal, the person was not a tabi'i, no doubt it was from the sahaba, here, now you can say, okay, we can bump this from the light weakness to hasan li ghayrihi, and it can be acceptable. Now, it will still not be acceptable if it is khalif, if it is in opposition to a stronger hadith. This is where the idea of shadh comes in, that even if it's bumped up, but then you have on the other hand a muttafaqun alayhi mutawatir hadith, then you gotta say, I'm sorry, this is still not muhkam, you still don't give hukam on it. That hadith is stronger, it is mahfub. Tayyib. We'll stop here with this. Jazakumullahu khairan, and continue with the grading on how far the hadith goes from marfu and so on in the next dars. Jazakumullahu khairan.